Hey, I'm Jennifer Hurwitz, and welcome to Doing Relationships Right. Raw, authentic, and insightful, this podcast is a no-bullshit look at all things relationships. The good, the not-so-good, and the what-the-hell-was-that. No worries, I've gotcha, and we'll figure it all out together without taking ourselves too seriously here on Doing Relationships Right. Are you frustrated with online dating? Confused by all the new apps and fancy dating sites? Do you find yourself choosing the wrong person again and again? Well, studies show that hiring a dating coach can maximize your online dating experience. So no worries, I've got you. And I've created a virtual course called Doing Dating Right. It's a 5-video series that you can complete at your own pace in your own space, right at home. How to write your online dating bio, pick that perfect picture, and so much more. Want more info? Go to my website at jenniferhurwitz.com. Again, it's jenniferhurwitz.com. Good morning, good morning. This is Doing Relationships Right. I'm Jennifer Hurwitz, and I'm your host every Tuesday and every Friday, which you all know if you listen. And today's a Tuesday episode, which means I have a guest. And of course, I am beyond excited about this guest, you guys. So get ready, get your AirPods ready, because we're going to talk about sex today, one of my most famous favorite topics of all time. And I have someone who's kind of, Wendy, I'm a little bit starstruck. You're a little bit famous to me. I think you're famous to everyone, but you're definitely famous to me. So I'm going to read your bio. So if you're watching, I'm going to read. If you're listening, you don't see me reading, but that's okay. Wendy Miller, I'm so happy to have you here, is an ACS certified sexologist and relationship expert, which I love, and is on a mission to inspire other women to reject all of the shame, judgment, and misinformation they've been taught about pleasure and sex. Yes, I love it. Drawing on years of research and what she's learned by working alongside of some of the world's leading sex educators, Wendy's new book, everybody write this down, 3 Secrets to the Happy and Healthy Relationship You've Always Fucking Wanted. I love it. That's the best title ever. Reveals step-by-step how to break away from toxic habits and constant relationship overthinking so you can enjoy all of the consensual sexual pleasures you desire. There, I did it. Okay.
That's a mouthful.
Wendy, hi. That's fabulous. I love it. I'm so glad to have you here.
Thank you for having me. I'm thrilled to be here.
Oh, thank you for coming, for being here. I appreciate it. Oh, great. Okay, so tell me, first of all, tell me a little bit about your background and what you do and where you come from, and then we'll talk about I'm going to be quiet so that you can go.
Well, I'm originally from Chicago, and I grew up there, and
that's why we get along.
Oh, are you from Chicago?
Midwestern.
All right. Yeah, and when I was a
kid— I'm from Detroit.
Okay. I used to live there. When I was a kid, I did commercials, and then I performed at Second City for years, and then I went away to college, and I came back, and I worked on The Oprah Show and a bunch of other places— always wanting to work in television, writing, and nothing whatsoever to do with sex, by the way. Just a regular mainstream TV, career. Went to Sony, got a job at Game Show Network. From there, I was recruited by NBC, where I was there for many years. And then I went and I launched the Oxygen Network, and then I went and I produced the Wayne Brady Show, and I won an Emmy for doing that, and I produced a bunch of pilots, and then went back to NBC, blah, blah, blah. And then the folks at Playboy were looking to create programming for couples, which is coded word for ladies. And they hired me to basically rebrand and recreate the entire programming lineup of the channel. And I was like—
I mean, you're famous, Wendy. You're famous.
But I was like, this is easy. I've done everything. And then I walked in there and I was like, I've done nothing. Oh, my God. And in 7.5 years, I was basically in like the single greatest educational system in the world for sex. And I work with amazing people. And I started creating shows for couples to keep them sexually in sync and romantic. And I started hanging out with adventurous couples and people who were doing amazing things with no shame. And I was like, all my suburban vanilla friends are missing out on so much fun.
Exactly.
Because we're raised with all this shame around sex. And I just started studying like what it takes to make a guy happy. This is centered in sort of cis hetero relationships, this version of the book.
Okay.
But it occurred to me that to keep a guy happy, you only have to do 3 things.
Are you going to tell us, or do you want—
let's play along. I don't know if you've read the book, but there are 3 things.
No, I haven't.
Okay. Okay. So you only have to give a guy 3 things to keep him happy forever. What's the first one? Okay. The first 2 are obvious.
Okay. I'm supposed to guess?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Food?
Yes.
They love food. I love feed, right? Feed and then sex.
Yes. So what's and, the and third thing?
I should know this because I'm a relationship. I do what you do, but I'm scared to say. Oh, you well, tell. Are you going to tell us?
Well, everybody's answer is so telling. Like my mother, for instance, she said a laundress. My dad said Q-tips. Other people have said all sorts of ridiculous things. But really, to keep a guy happy, food, sex, leave him alone.
Leave him space. So space.
And that doesn't mean you do all of the things and then you're like beholden to him and waiting for him and not talking. That means you have sex with the person, you feed the person, that's fine. You're going to enjoy both of those things too. Agreed. And then you work on yourself and you do the things for yourself. You become, you take classes, you do yoga, you hang out with your friends. You become the most badass, best version of yourself.
I love that.
That's when you're really the most attractive.
Agree.
You know, it's not about being skinny or having this crazy idealistic body. It's about being a whole person and really leaning into your own life. And so my book is, it's three sections. Recipes that I'm telling you are idiot proof because I am an idiot in the kitchen. And, simple things for idiots.
Oh, then, legitimate like recipes.
Yes. Actual meals.
Like literally.
Literally. Things that you can cook.
Because I can't cook, Wendy.
No, I can't either.
I cannot.
I'm telling you.
Oh, thank God.
These
recipes, I can't wait to
get
your book.
I put these together, are so easy. And those people, I'm telling you, their standards are not high. They just want food, sex, and to be left alone. So 50 recipes, breakfast, lunch, dinner, sandwiches, snacks, okay. Everything. 50 high-end sex tips and adventures. Everything from how to give an amazing hand job to fun things you can do together. And then the whole third section of the book is things for yourself. Things to make yourself more
brilliant.
Whole and to be healthier and to talk about things that you should be talking about, like daily masturbation and all the things that are actually
you can say it.
Good
yes.
for you. But we've
yes,
been taught
they're healthy.
That it's very healthy. It's good for your pelvic floor and it's good for reducing yes. stress and helping sleep, all of those things. And once we stop stigmatizing things and stop leaving, pleasure on the table or making it think like, oh, it's not for us, then your relationship is going to blow up. It's going to blow up. And even if you're single,
agreed.
If you're not even with someone, if you're single, this will help you set boundaries. So you put yourself first. So you're not all, what's he want? Because trust me, he's not thinking much. These people are basic. Okay. He is like a spork. That is how complicated guys are. So don't, we're like overwired maniacs and they're sporks.
I agree.
And it's a miracle.
My
that
ex-husband used to say, I call him my husband. Uh-huh. He used to say to me like, I just want dinner. Like, it's not that big of a deal, Jen. Just put something on the table.
Right.
And I used to say, well, this is so funny. I used to say, well, maybe if you, I'm going to swear on my own show, but I used to say to him, well, maybe if you fucked me, I'd make dinner. Mm-hmm. And he would say, well, maybe if you made dinner, I'd fuck you. I'm like, oh my God, this is like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, it's not that complicated. But
So there's a logical fallacy called complexity bias. And I'm not going to get all, okay. Complicated.
You can. No, we don't get it.
Here's the thing. We are hardwired to think that the most complicated answer is the best. And overly complex things make sense. Like you're in the grocery store and you see a box of cereal and it says, now containing all natural ingredients. And you're like, ooh, I should get that. All natural ingredients doesn't mean anything. Like you see hair dye, and it says aluminum free or cheese and it says gluten free. And you're like, I better get that. That's all bullshit. And it's the same thing with relationships. You don't have to overthink them if you are a woman in a relationship with a man. These people are basic. And this book literally gives you everything you need.
Oh, I can't wait to read it. And you know what? I feel like it's a great gift for everyone. Mm-hmm. Like you should be buying it for yourself and then buying another copy for your friend or your whoever. I'm going to buy a couple and I'm going to give them away for presents for Hanukkah and Christmas.
Thank you. Because seriously, like if you've got a friend, if you've got a daughter or a niece or somebody going away to college, because there's high-end sex tips in there, but everybody wants to be a stealth super freak. It's like there's nothing wrong with wanting to be good in bed.
Right.
So
where do you think this came from? Like the whole shame aspect, I tried so hard with my boys. They're both in college. Well, one's going to college. I tried so hard to not, I don't want them to feel like bad about like, beating off in the whole masturbation. We were just so open about everything.
Yeah.
Where did that come from? Like, well, we know where it came from, but what are some tips that
As women, we're conditioned that sex is not for us, right? Somebody takes our virginity. We don't, you know, it's like all these things are about, it's not for us and it's shameful. Lie back and think of England, all these things. And basically what that sets us up for is not thinking pleasure is for us and thinking right. It's for the other person. And so what we need to do is we need to take back pleasure and we need to destigmatize it, because there's no shame in experiencing pleasure and having great sex. It's actually healthy for you. Shirley Jones, Mrs. Partridge, in her memoir, she talks about how she masturbates every single day. Have you seen her? She's a fucking goddess. Like, it's things like this where if you don't make it some sort of sketchy thing and you make it a wellness issue, and it's also a right. We have a right to pleasure. We have a right to be interested in sex. We have a right to want to give blowjobs. We have a right to want somebody to go down on us. We have all these rights. But we're socialized to say, oh, that's not for us. And there's shame associated with that. Only women, though.
It's so... Yeah, why? It makes me so mad. And even like, you know, my son in college, it's just like the girls, even there, like they're being slut shamed all the time. Yep. And like, you know, the stuff that they wear and the stuff, it's just, it kills me. I'm like, it's really frustrating to me.
Yeah. I have a daughter who is 15. She goes to Catholic high school, and at another Catholic high school, they just had a dance, and any of the girls, they determined whose dresses were too low or too short, had to take off their dresses and wear sweatpants and a school spirit shirt at the dance. They're policing girls' bodies and telling them that you can't dress like that way because you will distract the boys, right? That's what they're telling them. Oh. You can't wear. And it's like, why don't you just train the boys not to be perverts and assholes?
That's exactly right.
Instead of policing
our
bodies.
That's exactly right.
And it makes it seem like, oh, I guess our bodies are not our own and our bodies are only there for the male gaze. See, there's a lot of things going on that you don't realize that we're being taught. And all of that is taking away our opportunities for pleasure and autonomy. And it's just, we deserve sexual autonomy. We deserve to have fun. If I want to be slutty, I should be slutty. And there's a whole section in my book about watching that language and how women talk to each other. And she's such a slut. You shouldn't call other women sluts.
Oh my God. Could you imagine? I mean...
I've done it. Oh. I know I've done it in the past.
Well, I don't think I've ever called anyone a slut. I think I've said they've dressed, that's slutty, or the outfit is slutty. I remember being in like, you know, like, oh my God, she looks really slut. I don't think I've ever called anyone a slut.
No, but I've said like exactly what you said. Like I've said, that's really slutty, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I've done that.
Yeah. And we got
to
stop. You're
right. You got to watch your language, and we have to support each other and hold each other up. And if someone wants to be slutty, God bless them. It's like the gay community took words like queer and made them positive, made them their own. Let's take slutty and make it our own. Yeah, I want to be slutty.
I agree.
Right?
Let's do it. Yes. Yes. I think, and you know what? Here's the thing. Do you think, and this is, please give me your opinion on this. Where do you think we start with this? Like in school, should they, like when they have what, sex ed in fifth grade? Mm. What are they not teaching our kids? Like,
they're not teaching our kids a lot of things.
Exactly.
And I think it's about being very sex positive at home. And it's about using real words for body parts.
Yes.
And it's about not saying, oh, only girls do that, or only boys do that, or don't do that. That's not ladylike. All of these things are coded language just to make female-bodied people feel like they're less than, or that they're not entitled to pleasure. It's all set up, and we might sometimes be unwittingly part of it. So we just have to be, we have to be careful. And for instance, here's something I do with my daughter. She's 15. Like when anything goes wrong, like she'd be like, yeah, I didn't turn, I got a D on my paper. I always say to her, what were you wearing? Were you asking for it? And she like starts laughing because that whole thing, when women have been attacked, rape, but what were you wearing? Were you asking for it?
Oh,
it's such a line of bullshit.
Yes.
That I take that now. It's like, oh, I got a parking ticket. Like a friend of mine will say, I got a parking ticket. What were you wearing? Were you asking for it? Or you say it to guys. Yeah, some guy punched me in a bar. What were you wearing? Were you asking for it? Like all of these things, we have to start thinking about the messaging that we're using. And keep it sex positive, because first of all, the good news is people under 30 have their shit together. Like younger people, like there are kids in my daughter's class. They're like, I'm bisexual. But they don't care. And it's not stigmatized.
They don't care.
Nobody goes like, ooh, so-and-so's bisexual. Nobody cares. So
no one cares.
That's really great news. So
it is good news.
There's good news on the horizon. It's just people our age that we have to sort of deprogram.
I really do agree with you. I think it's definitely, there's that our age, like that whole section of us. And then there's that divide and it's like, everyone's cool.
You're
you know what I'm saying? Like
let's be the cool kids.
It's like, I would love to. I want to just like segue. And it's funny because like I feel like I'm that mom mm-hmm. where the kids are at my house and they're like, oh, Miss Jen is cool. She's good. Like, oh, so-and-so, you know what I'm saying? And so I kind of teeter on that line where like I'll go to lunch with my friends and they're like, oh, Jen, you allow this. And I'm like, but I'm the cool mom, you know? So it's very strange to ride that like.
But you could be the cool mom and still have boundaries. You could be the cool mom yes, and say, hey, don't drink alcohol in the house, but I don't care if you guys right. are like boys want to hang out.
Right. Or if like there's someone, so-and-so is bisexual. It doesn't bother me. Like they yeah. almost want me to be bothered. My friends are like, why aren't you bothered? Because it shouldn't be a stigma.
It should not.
There's no problem.
It's not a thing.
It's crazy.
It's like being mad if a kid is Armenian or
right?
Korean. Like who cares? Right. Doesn't matter. Ugh,
no, we got it. I just can't even. So this book, mm-hmm. your book sounds, I can't wait to get it.
Yeah.
And I love that I didn't realize there were actual recipes because you understand. That is good news. I don't even know how to use a microwave for God.
No, I'm telling you, I'm a spaz in the kitchen and
I can't even.
There are things in there like, and it's shortcuts, you know, like I have a Swedish meatball recipe that is so beyond easy and your guy is not going to know it. He's just going to be thrilled that there's like some food on the table in front of him.
Food on the table.
You're going to have endless sex is all I'm saying.
Anyone who's been through a divorce knows co-parenting is not all rainbows and sunshine, especially when alcohol abuse is involved. Pair these challenges with a pandemic and you have a perfect storm. SoberLink's alcohol monitoring system is the most convenient, reliable, and reasonable way for a parent to provide evidence that they are not drinking during parenting time. SoberLink's real-time alerts make it easy to negotiate with any party. Judges rest assured that the child is safe. Attorneys get court-admissible evidence of sobriety. And both parents have empowerment and peace of mind. Do divorce right. And trust the experts in remote alcohol monitoring technology to keep your kids safe, happy, and well-adjusted. To download the guide, 5 Non-Negotiables for Embracing a New Normal that I developed with SoberLink, visit www.soberlink.com/DRR. And why do they, you know what's so funny about that we equate food and sex? Don't you feel that way? Like, I feel like as long as they're...
What? It's pleasure, right?
Yes, it is. I love to eat. My boyfriend and I have been together 5 years and I feel like he's happy. He is so happy if he's fed. We have sex and
that's it. You've yes. covered all bases and then leave him alone. And again, leaving him alone means you do your thing. If your boyfriend wants to go to Hobby Lobby with you, you're looking at a bigger problem. Okay. So do some things with your friends, do some things by yourself. Work on improving your own life, doing things you want to do. I took surfing lessons. Like, who knows? I was terrible at it, but I did it.
Oh, and I would love that.
Stuff like that. And you just become a bigger badass and you'll be much more attractive to your current partner or to other people. It's simple.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, it's funny. This is strange to me though. The more badass I get, I feel like the more, I don't know if it's needy is the wrong word. I don't know if he gets nervous. Mm. Is that maybe he gets like, that's a whole other, I could talk to you all day about that. Yeah. But like, I wonder, you know, if he wonders like, why is she getting so badass? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know if that's it too, but he gets a little more clingy as I get more bad. I don't.
Maybe because you're thinking that he's getting threatened because you're becoming more confident.
I'm not sure. Yeah. My confidence is definitely like it changes as I, after the, you know, after divorce, everyone gets we're all so fucked up.
It's horrible. You know, yeah.
It's hard.
Yeah.
Divorce is like the worst. So then you get your bearings and you get your shit together. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I got this. I'm okay.
Yeah.
You
know? But I mean, so, it takes time and everybody's got to give themselves time and a break because most marriages fail.
Yeah. Right.
So there's no shame.
I would love to know
that.
How we can. Right. No shame. No shame. But do you think I'm going to ask you this too. I really feel like why can't we get our sex life in our marriages? What can we do to help? Like, it's not, it can't be. I mean, like, I even felt shame in my sex life in my marriage.
Of course you did, because you were programmed like that. And the first thing to know is to not blame yourself. Just to take away that blame and be like, okay, I have been socialized as a woman to be in charge of everyone else's feelings, to put myself last, to say pleasure is not for me, all of these things. If you're living your life like that, that's not your fault. That's part of a whole system that sets you up for failure. So if you are out there and you're listening and you're watching and you're saying, well, sex isn't for me and I don't want to know, you feel that way because someone told you to feel that way. Just like someone told you to buy a purple mattress or somebody told you there's no gluten in Cheetos. You were programmed. And you just need to deprogram and think about sex as wellness and not as shame, and that you are entitled to pleasure. All of us.
I'm writing that down.
All of us are entitled to pleasure.
Sex is wellness. Yeah. I mean, I do. And it's crazy because, you know, when you're masturbating and someone walks in and you jump.
Right.
You know, I'm like it should just be normal, like a normal thing. Like, oh, I'm just playing. Like, why can't it be, right?
Yeah. And I mean, it's okay to say I want private time, especially now with everybody exactly, in the house for COVID. It's a little challenging, but
yes,
but you're right. There's no shame. Yeah. It's like you put on moisturizer every day. Good. You put on sunscreen. Good. You brush your teeth. Good. You masturbate. Good. All of these things are good for you.
Right. Right. And I have been with partners that are like threatened by vibrators or threatened by sex toys.
Oh, that's a whole thing. I talk about that in the book. Yeah.
Do you? Oh, yeah, I can't wait.
I do. First of all, if you, I say this to a lot of women, if you are going to introduce sex toys into your relationship and you decide just to like spring something on your fellow, which I do not recommend, at the very least, do not bring anything into the bed bigger than his penis. It's a basic thing.
Maybe that was the problem.
Do not bring in the Thrust-O-Matic 5000, okay? Don't do that.
You're killing me, Wendy.
Right?
Right.
Make better decisions. If you're by yourself, that's fine. But initially, don't do that. In fact, what I like to say to people when I'm working with them is I go, why don't you go to the sex shop with your partner and have him recommend or suggest some things that he would like to see you play with? Now, if you don't want to play with it, obviously you say no. No means no. It's your body. And if somebody picks out something offensive or like terrifying, you didn't have to say that. But if he picks out something that's kind of, you're going to get instant buy-in, right? Because he chose it. So involve him in the pleasure and use the thing with him and by yourself. But I just initially say there are certain toys that are great for partners, for couples to play with together. Some things you just want to work your way up to them is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Don't bring in the 17-inch like Thrust-O-Matic.
I did not do that, by the way.
I'm sure you did.
But like, I remember pulling out like, you know, actually it was my girlfriend. She said she pulled out a whole box and she plopped it on the bed and she's like, pick. And I think he was like, you know, like what? Yeah. Because I think that's a little bit too much.
Well, you know what though? Guys, if they're threatened by sex toys, like you wouldn't want to mow the lawn with a scissors. You would want like a John Deere tractor, right? Like if you're really thinking about efficiency, and those people frequently are, think this thing really gets me off. It's efficient. I'm going to have a great time. Why don't I show you how to use it on me? And it's just going to make me feel great. Not I'm replacing your ass. Because if he's that threatened, he might not be the right guy long-term for you.
I agree.
The same thing with lube, though. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Yeah, lube. Yeah. A lot of
women are afraid to use lube because they think their partners are going to be threatened. But it's like, what's the matter? I'm not turning you on enough.
Oh, okay. I see.
As you get older, your body changes. And sometimes, depending on your diet or your hormones, you're not self-lubricating a lot. Lube makes sex feel better. So you shouldn't have to apologize for using lube. It just makes things
and you shouldn't
better.
Be embarrassed.
But a lot of people are. A lot of women are. And a lot of guys are threatened by it. And again, just say, it's so like butter. Butter makes toast taste better. Lube is like butter for your vagina.
Love it. Yes, it is like butter for your vagina.
Right?
And who wouldn't want, like, the wetter the better. Who wouldn't want, you know?
Exactly.
You would think, like, just come. Like, I would be, you know, I mean, I'm.
But again, if you're with somebody who's threatened, you're probably with the wrong person. Or they need some coaching because maybe they were socialized and thinking, it's all on me and I'm responsible. Because here's the thing. First and foremost, you are responsible for your own pleasure, not your partner.
I love that.
So if you're not getting off, if he's not taking you across the finish line, if he's being selfish in bed, whatever that is, you need to make sure that you get yours and that you are responsible for your own pleasure. And there's nothing wrong with that. So always keep that in mind. If you're saying, well, my husband doesn't get me off. Well, are you participating? Well, I don't want to touch myself in front of him. Okay. These are things that I hear a lot. And so remember that you are responsible for your own pleasure. And if that means pulling out a Hitachi magic wand to close the deal, pull it out. But, you know, just know that the person next to you potentially might get a little butthurt over it. And
sometimes they do.
Sometimes.
But can't you have that conversation before? Like, look, you know.
Yes. And you bring up a really good point.
Okay.
This is what I tell a lot of the people that I work with. If you're going to ask for something, if you're going to talk about things, first of all, don't do it in the bedroom. Right. Don't ever have that conversation in the bedroom. Right. The energy, and I believe that rooms absorb energy. And if you have a fight in your bedroom, or if you make your partner feel like they're not helping you, or if you say something and they get a little freaked out about it, you're going to screw up the energy in that bedroom.
Of course.
So what you really need to do is you need to have that conversation, like over wine and cheese in the backyard, in the yes. car when you're driving to Costco, something. Keep that separate. So you can still have those conversations. Talk about what you like. Talk about what you like about them. Hey, you know, the other night when we had sex, it was so great when you flipped me over and started making monkey sounds. That really turned me on. And the guy's like, yeah, all right. And then you could say, I was wondering, can we do some more things like that? Instead of just saying, can we do more things? Because he'll be like, ooh, right. I'm not doing enough. Start with a compliment. Reassure them that they're trying and that it's working for you. And then just ask for more. And you'd be surprised how happy your partner will be when you say, I want to try more things. Your partner's not going, oh, she's a slut. If he is, again, wrong guy.
He's not your person. Right.
Chances are he's going, hell yes, let's do it.
Yeah, he's like, bring it on.
Bring it on.
Yeah. Okay, I have one more question for you.
Okay.
What about when, after you have kids, okay, mm-hmm. so this was yeah. an issue for us, like the Madonna thing, like where you're like, I don't want to have sex with the mother of my kids.
Right.
I was like, just for God's sake, fuck, I don't care, fuck me. But like a lot of men are like, look, the kids came out of that vagina. I'm just not sure about it. Right. Is that a real thing?
It is a real thing. And that just takes time. Sometimes it's little things, like sometimes you have to schedule sex. So let's say—
I tell my clients that all the time. Schedule it.
Right. Okay. So let's say you know that
you agree
Thursday
with that.
Night is sex night. Yes. Thursday night
yes,
is sex
yes,
night.
Yes, I love it.
During the day, yeah. send a couple sexy texts.
Oh my gosh, Wendy, I'm so glad you say that because I say the same thing.
The deal is—
So I know I'm
anticipation is pleasure.
Is sexy.
Yes, right? Yes. So thinking about sex gives you the same release of dopamine as having sex.
Yes.
So what you can do with your partner is throughout the day, do little things. Like one little nice thing. Maybe grab its butt. It's going to be hard after you have a baby, especially if you're still breastfeeding. Like your body doesn't feel like it's your own, and a train ran through your hoo-ha, and it's always very difficult. It takes time. But you can get that back. It just takes a lot of time, a lot of communication, and a lot of work. But you could totally get that back and be the freaky deaky that you want to be.
And I think also, Wendy, don't you think if you are feeling that way, I tell my clients too, don't wait. Don't wait to get help. Like reach out to you, reach out to us when you start having the problems. Because if you wait too long, it's more difficult.
That's right. That's absolutely right. Yeah. Don't wait till it's a bigger problem. Start, if you start seeing something, find a good way outside of the bedroom to have a conversation about it for sure.
Or reach out to a sexologist or a sex coach like you, right? Okay. Can everybody find you? First of all, your website's incredible.
Thank you so
the,
much.
The Wendy Miller.
Right. There are lots of Wendy Millers, but I'm the Wendy Miller. So go to thewendymiller.com. You can see what I've got upcoming events. I just did a speaking engagement in Walla Walla, Washington, which was so much fun. And
you're back speaking.
I'm doing something now where if people want to read my book, I will zoom into your book club and answer questions about sex. I've just started doing this and it's so much fun. So if you and your friends want to have a ladies' night, read the book, zoom me in, and I will answer your questions and you can have a free session with me.
Maybe I will do that. Maybe I'll get together some of my girlfriends and we'll do a Zoom night with you.
It would be a blast and I would love to do it. That I've been doing that and it is so much fun.
Oh my God, that does sound like a great... That sounds like an awesome time, Wendy. Let's do that. That sounds great. Okay, so the Wendy Miller, because there are a bunch of Wendy Millers.
There are, yeah. And also you can go to my podcast is Sex Ed the Musical. So sexedthemusical.com. Okay. You can hear me talking to really great experts and lots of goofballs and adventurous couples and all sorts of fun stuff on there. And that's also a great way to learn a lot about sex and health and really how to have more fun in the bedroom.
I mean, it's great. And so Sex Ed the Musical, first of all, everything's going to be in the show notes. So everybody can find you, whatever you've got. But let me just say this. Sex Ed the Musical, thewendymiller.com, and the book. Everyone has to go get the book, and me included. I'm buying a couple of them because I'm going to be giving them for presents.
Yay.
Yes, I am. So get your pens out, guys. It's going to be in the show notes too. Yes. 3 Secrets to the Happy, Healthy Relationship You've Always Fucking Wanted.
It's available on Amazon, in Kindle, or in paperback. Yes. Get the paperback because then for the recipes, you can really take notes on it.
Oh, I like the hardcover. Do you have a hardcover too?
No.
Okay, me either. I didn't do both my books, I didn't do a hardcover. I did paperback.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, why do I need hardcover? Yeah. I like the paperback.
I keep paperbacks. I don't keep hardcover books. I always give them to other people.
Oh, that's so funny. My publisher was like, we don't need it. I'm like, no, yeah, it's fine. It was good. Oh, Wendy, I think you're amazing. And I just loved having you. And I'm just starstruck by you. I think you're fantastic. Oh my gosh. Thank you for being here.
Your show's a blast. This has been so much fun. Thank you for having me. I really look forward to talking to you again sometime.
Yes, and come back anytime you want. And let's do a book club. And everybody, you can find Wendy Miller again at thewendymiller.com. Please go grab her books. And of course, you know where to find me. JenniferHurwitz.com. Look at that. It's easy.
That's right.
So do something this week. Do something fabulous for yourself. Go masturbate. How about go have sex with your husband or make a meal and then have sex? Anything you want. Anything you want. I love it. I love it. Everybody, have a great day. Peace, love, and so much truth, y'all. Have a good one. Take care. Hey, hey, thanks for listening to Doing Relationships Right. Don't forget, if you love the show, subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcast episodes. And grab my books, One Happy Divorce and Woulda, Coulda, Shoulda, on Amazon, Target.com, or my website, JenniferHurwitz.com. As usual, thanks for listening and see you next week. Peace, love, and truth.